welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Larry Larson.
And Brian Keller has been deported.
Really?
So nice. kudos to him and the NSA. We know what you did. So let's get right into it because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Let's do it.
Interesting topics. One of the big ones, Laura Foy has been at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
In Spain. The poor thing.
I know. Yeah. I know. And Michael works in our studio, so hard knock life for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody, you know, that lobster isn't gonna eat itself. Somebody has to have some. Now, the key things out of here. Lots of features. Multitasking is probably the biggest one that people have been talking about, because multitasking and copy-paste coming in and update even before that, which is the first major update.
And it looks very cool. IE9, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, so...
HTML5?
Yeah, so HTML5. That's a big thing to have on your browser.
Yeah, very cool for a phone.
Yeah, especially in a performant way. Some other things. Twitter integration in the People Hub. Now... I know there was some crazy story when I had mentioned things. I want to make sure do you have any idea on what they're actually doing and any details on their implementation?
I have not seen the Twitter integration.
Neither have I.
So let's talk about it.
So let's talk about
authorities on this.
Let's talk about how I hope
that won't get us into trouble.
No, it's clear. We know nothing. There's like unpaid interns and then there's us.
Yeah.
Twitter integration, what I want to make sure they do is that they don't import everybody I'm following.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure I want, you know, there's a bunch of random products or things that I follow that I'm not sure I would want.
Foul word, your dad says.
Yes, exactly. Asterisk, bang, my dad says. May not want that on there.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe if it takes my existing people and just maps their Twitter to it.
Yeah.
So that way if I know, and I don't know how it's going to do that crazy connection, maybe through Facebook, so this person is this on this. I don't know how these inner...
I do have preferences for Twitter. There's maybe a dozen that I'd really like to be the top tier ones.
Yeah, and I'm fine. If they're a contact in my phone, I'm fine reading their Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So... and let's see, some other stuff was Office document storage via Windows Live SkyDrive.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly there's going to be more interesting stuff to talk about. And the specific line is, developers will learn much more about this during April's Mix conference.
Hmm.
Fantastic. So.
All right. Can't wait.
Yes. A complete surprise that we would announce something new at a conference. But that moves us on to... Windows Azure,
yeah,
which released a new CTP of what's called the Application Fabric. Way this works is you have an application, you want to, this is Velocity, you want to add caching,
mm-hmm.
right? So this new version of caching allows you to set the cache size from 128 to 256, dynamically change it, add some diagnostics, and performance improvements.
That's hot.
Yes.
That's really hot.
Incredibly so.
Yeah.
But for people building caching, they'd be like, thank God.
Yeah.
So
it matters to those that it matters to.
Exactly.
In big ways.
Brian Peek, MJPEG.
Love Brian.
Now you've done some. You've had some IP webcams before, right?
I have. I used to have some in my previous house. I mm-hmm. haven't set up anything in this house now, but I would like to set up a camera inside and a couple outside. To watch the bears. We have weird animals up there in Woodinville. So
see, I think if you set up a bear cam,
that
would be hilarious. And all it would do was it would detect, and if there's a certain amount of fur, and I don't know how fur you are with your shirt off, but you could build something.
So edge detection, and then look
edge
for
detection,
rough
look,
edges.
Yeah, and look for somebody furry.
Or if you see Larry running very fast and a big blob behind it chasing me.
Then, yes, upload that video to YouTube,
yeah,
upload the still to Twitter,
and I
think that's pretty popular. So the idea with this is motion JPEG. It's basically a way that cameras stream video to you.
Yeah.
So the IP cameras are different than the ones you plug into USB. They're standalone. They don't need a computer in between.
Acts as a web server. You connect right to it.
Exactly.
No other hardware needed.
So now you can use these libraries in Silverlight, in Windows Phone, in WPF, in Windows Forms, in XNA as well.
Nice.
So you can take the stream and then show the live feed.
Cool.
And obviously, since these are JPEGs, you can go to town on them, do the image processing. You can, you know, make sure to tell, is it a cat on the keyboard? Is it whatever? Send it to Twitter. So cool stuff.
Very nice.
NuGet. So the way NuGet works is, or NuGet 1.1 works, is they did have some issue. I think if you're running Visual Studio 2010 with a service pack, something that you should know, just check out Phil's notes on if it fails because of a certification issue. But once you get this installed, the new version has things like a progress bar during install. So I want to download a bunch of these packages, open source packages. I can take them, it'll actually show me the progress of installation, the package manager output window, some interesting things that David Ebo talks about, which is resolving interdependencies. Mm-hmm. So I download these different things, except each one points to a different version of a library.
Yeah.
How do you do a smart way to configure that? So you can check out the post. So, but lots of details on NuGet, and I love, this is a 1.1 release, so it's a .1 release, but tons of new features.
Very cool.
So that's always promising when you have a lot of...
And it does all of this part for you.
Yeah.
Very nice. I like things that do that.
Yeah, so check out the post on how it actually works for details. Scott Hanselman.
Yeah.
Friend and frequent guest of the show. He walks through 7 steps to build your NuGet package. So with NuGet, everybody wants, they have their open source project. It's all over the web, different binaries, different releases. This shows you how to package, take your code and actually package it so you'll be in the NuGet repository. The way, you know, we were talking about this before, it's kind of like NuGet's like a marketplace.
Yeah.
Right? So it has, you'll know if there's new versions available, and people can kind of see what's going on. I don't know if it'll get into the popularity contest of, you know, what's the most popular, what's the top rated, and... But it is a really easy way for everybody to have kind of one place, if you will, for the repository. Of course, everything's free.
Yeah,
we should say so. Unlike a typical marketplace. Roger Doherty.
Roger Doherty, 25 videos on SQL Server. So if you're a big SQL Server fan and you want to expand your knowledge here, 25 videos that he shot in the studio that will walk you through some of the things that you need to know for like reporting and.
Business intelligence.
It's all there.
Yeah. So check it out. And lots of demos, lots of sort of quick hit videos as well.
Plenty to learn on that page.
Yes. Moving along, Razor. I think this was Joe Stagner had the post. What he does is actually walks through so you have an application using ASP.NET Web Pages and Web Matrix. There's a button that says Edit in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
In Service Pack 1 of Visual Studio 2010, they're now going to support Razor in. So if you see behind you, I mean, I know you can't see.
Yes.
It has IntelliSense. It has a debugger. It has all the things that, like, the right context for stuff. So I know whether I do have access to some of the helpers and functions, et cetera, so all just to make sure that your code is actually working, syntax highlighting, all those things that you would want in a really powerful developer tool for building Razor apps, including a new template or project template, so you can say, "Hey, I want to start directly in Visual Studio and say file new website using Razor."
NCOG, it's sweeps week.
Yes. That's probably why, you know, talk about that, the Jeopardy Watson thing, you know, starting to learn by itself.
It's all about machine learning now.
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell us about NCOG.
So, neural network, which I think is a fancy way of saying, I want to do, you know, a bunch of things and learn which way works.
I've seen Star Trek The Next Generation. Oh. I know all about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on, Commander Data.
So maybe it's really that that there's a .NET version and a Silverlight version, so you can have fun doing machine learning and neural network programming.
Yeah.
And kudos to Greg Duncan for finding this.
Very nice.
Which is fun, and that's what I do on weekends.
Yeah.
That's how I...
Yeah, that is why you are like you are.
That's how I roll. So, one thing we want to talk about. Last week, some people started posting on the comments asking, one, obviously, not to have the green screen. Check. Who's the person in charge of the green screen?
He's in Spain right now.
Okay.
So.
Eating lobster.
Yes,
isn't that
exactly.
Great?
That's...
So, another comment was on Redgate Reflector.
Yeah.
So, Redgate had a product called Reflector, and I'm sure a lot of people know about this. They have now decided to start, 4 months from now, to start charging for Reflector. I think the price is around
$35.
So, with that in mind, people wanted to make sure that, one, we were covering it and kind of giving a different perspective.
Yeah.
Greg Tillman from Redgate.
Really?
Actually, I know.
You've been contacted.
Yes. I think
are
it's...
Are these the talking points?
This is not a cease and desist. actually, I wanted to make sure to get the Redgate viewpoint so people kind of understand. And I'll kind of give my own two cents on it, realizing it's my personal opinion. But they're not forcing... One, they're not forcing anybody to pay for Reflector.
Yeah.
So you can decide whether you want to use it or not, or whether it's worth $35 for you.
Sure.
Two is the way it used to work before is the licenses would always expire on the free version. Now that's gone, so you pay $35 once and you can use it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It won't have that weird thing. And really, there's a lot of alternatives which we're going to spend some time going through. But they think they still will have the best tool.
Yeah.
With that in mind, my perspective on this, having worked in Visual Studio Express, where one of the most controversial parts was that we were going to make a developer tool for free, especially if you look back in the 1975, Bill Gates saying how we should, you know, we're going to the Hobbyist Manifesto, I think it was called, or an open letter to hobbyists, I think it was called, basically saying that you can't make all software free.
Yeah.
That people aren't going to be able to make a living on it.
At some point, you have to eat.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yes, there is that. And I think one of the things, pricing is always one of those tricky things that you want to make sure. And one of the things that I think Microsoft has learned, especially there was something called Licensing 6, and people maybe have some painful experiences with that, is people have started to set expectations.
Yeah.
So once you set expectations, like if we were to, say, release Visual Studio Express for free, and if it ever, somebody, Brainiac, decides that they want to charge $20 because there's 8 million people using Visual Studio Express or whatever, the community is going to hate us.
Yeah, if you have free beer for a very long time, even if you charge a nickel, it's not free beer anymore. So
yeah.
There's a segment of people who are not going to like that at all.
Yeah, it's because they have an expectation. You know, for years I've been using this, and now you are extra evil for trying to charge me. But back to your, you know, people have to eat for a living.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my perspective, but I think I think Redgate was even surprised by the negative controversy, because mm-hmm. they're typically not, you know, a company that has a lot of negative controversy. A lot of their stuff developers use day in and day out. I think it's because of that is expectations. It started as a free tool. Everybody used it as a free tool. It's been a free tool for a very long time. And now it's not.
And $35 is not outrageous. I mean, it's about half of a new video game, so...
I get emails all the time, people saying how dare anything cost money. Which brings us, you know, students.
Yeah.
They're apparently not paying for Xbox games.
No.
But there are some legitimate reasons. And in fact, Greg has asked for people, if they have comments, to send them into the Reflector, you know, their specific situation. Feel free to give him feedback. He's volunteered, and we'll have a link on the show notes as well.
Cool.
Free alternatives.
All right.
So with this announcement, you know, I'd have to say Microsoft, as well as other groups, use tools like Reflector to decompile applications, understand how they're working. This one is by the folks at Sharp Develop, but what it basically shows you is that it does the source code. Ooh,
nice.
Yeah, all the decompilation, so you can search for the specific types and This is in system security utils class, and you can see what's going on.
And this
on
one's free.
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 Totally free.
No charge.
And they have daily builds available now. Right? So, not vaporware.
Cool.
Miguel DeCaza, friend of the show, been on Channel 9 several times. He actually had a post on Reflector as well, talking about the Cecil, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, decompiler in Mono, which is, you know, the same thing, allows you to search assembly browser, and then I can actually see the source code for it. And his quote at the very end was, JB has been working on a new system that goes beyond decompilation. Beyond decompilation. I don't even know what that means.
What is beyond that?
I know. And will be demoed at QCon next month. Stay tuned for his demo.
Wow.
So that's another potential alternative.
I can't wait to see what is beyond.
I know. I'm not actually familiar with the QCon.
Get into your head and QCon. See what you're going to type.
Yes, actually. Digital clairvoyance.
Very nice.
Somebody asked me to... it's a separate story. Okay. JetBrains.
Okay.
Builders of ReSharper. Really well-known tool. They had their own teaser, which is just a screenshot, and it says an open image to the .NET community. A lot of I use ReSharper. A lot of people use ReSharper. This is the you start typing a name, and it actually gives you the source code for that. So no actual details. Again, kind of a teaser. Not that you can download today, but
not
there's definitely
today.
Definitely a lot of alternatives.
And cost associated with this? Is it free or?
JetBrains didn't say.
Okay.
So
TBD.
TBD. TBD. Right. Now, if it's something that's bundled into ReSharper, you just get it for ReSharper. So, you know, somebody that, like...
And a little marketing note, if you're ever planning on charging for it, start now.
Yes. Yes, that's today's lesson.
Yes.
Consistency.
Yes, yeah.
Pricing consistency is a good thing, TM.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I can imagine them just having it be part of their bigger product, and which is ReSharper. Which brings us to Picks of the Week!
Pick of the Week!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so this is Automatic DJ, and this is a little app that'll take a look at your face. It'll take a look at your Facebook page, and it'll try to play songs that it thinks you will like. And for me, it plays Pilot It's Magic, which doesn't seem like
no?
It's me. No, I wouldn't have thought that would have been the first choice for me. But,
really?
Yeah, but source code available if you want to download it, play around with it, check it out. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so the code is available. It uses the Face.com API, which mm-hmm. I had never heard of, but apparently that does something to log into Facebook to then get your data.
And
then it sends it over to Hunch. So Hunch looks at all your data and then says, here's the
contacts
kind of stuff
all
that
your old girlfriends and...
If only.
Yeah.
If only.
And says, they still like that favorite song of yours.
But it, based on that, it's like, Dan, you're going to like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It knows what you're going to want. So some interesting examples to play with. The code is in Python, so you can load it in maybe Iron Python, and it is open source, so you can play around.
Your pick of the week.
My pick of the week
is Sweeps Week.
It is the Link Anagram Checker, which is a extension method, which what it does is has tells you whether something is an anagram. It is a method named is anagram of. So what this does, you pass in two strings. Are these strings anagrams? Right?
Yeah.
So the way it does that, it lowercases it.
Okay.
Sets that string from this into an array with each character. Then it does a where clause where it's only getting letters from A to Z, so it doesn't do, you know, some crazy alphabetical non-alpha characters.
Yeah.
Does that for the second string as well. Right, so now we have these two arrays, and we use the sequence equal to order those. Order the first one, order the second one, and check whether they're equal or not.
So your weekend is set.
So that, yes, yeah. I can now use my anagram checker.
You're just
with my neural
Friday,
network.
5 o'clock, I'm getting off work, and it's all Link anagrams.
So finally I have an easy way in just a couple lines of code to
check for interrupts. How much time is this going to save you? You opened up an entire Sunday.
You know there's going to be people saying that's an inefficient algorithm because what it's doing is iterating. What you really want to do is use a sparse tree algorithm.
Come on.
To control
that.
Was
this your first day? Of course.
Yeah, because otherwise you only need to compare characters one at a time. So you can argue whether it's... This is an interesting...
Maybe you need a refresher course.
Yeah. Yeah, or using the positions of each one and doing the minus. But here's the real reason why I did it. Next time I'm interviewing a developer, I want you to build something that compares two strings and says whether they're an anagram or not.
Okay.
That's my new test.
So I never would have got hired
for developers.
Yeah.
For developers.
Course,
but yeah, you wouldn't have gotten hired. No, you would have said, what's an anagram?
Thank you, Jeff.
And that's our show this week. And thank you, Larry.
Thank you.